Lots of moving parts today from the world of business. It's the business news headlines for Monday, the 13th day of April. Thanks, as always, for being with us. Leading off, is it essential or not so much? The bottom could drop out of the used car market. Amazon and third-party sellers are back. Sexual harassment at McDonald's? We've got an update on the big oil deal of this past weekend. The chair of the Minnesota Fed has some somber news about the future. We'll check the markets, and then what does a post-pandemic office look like? Those stories, plus Laura Kennard joins me to talk about how businesses are turning digital at a rapid pace. But first, the business news headlines.
Insight on Business, the News Hour, is made possible through the support of the HR professionals at Oasis, a paychecks company at oasisahr.com. Taro International, a company that trains business leaders to be more successful. Achieve, lead, and outclass with Taro, TERO.com. The National Tractor Parts Dealer Association, with members in the United States, Canada, Great Britain, Australia, and New Zealand, NTPDA.com. And AARP, where they work to provide leadership in a host of issues from healthcare to creating more livable communities. Learn more at aarpiowa.org. The business news is next.
Thank you, Hunter Pease, and welcome to the Monday edition of the Business News Headlines. I'm your host, Michael Libby, and you can check us out on Twitter. You can find us at IOB_NewsHour. Well, there is widespread confusion regarding what products and services are essential and what are not. Last week, Vermont was the first state that we know of that listed a number of items from big box stores that were described as non-essential, everything from carpet to movies, and it required those areas to be roped off. Well, then Walmart started taping off sections of their store, including, as we saw in a news story this morning, baby car seats at a store in Michigan. Well, then Governor Whitmer clarified the issue and said, wait a minute, car seats are essential. Meanwhile, the National Rifle Association has filed lawsuits against several states, including New York, California, and New Mexico, over the closure of gun stores. A small business in Pennsylvania that made handbells for musicians has also filed a class action lawsuit, alleging that closure orders are violating its employee rights. My, we are a testy bunch, yes? The auto industry, already fretting lengthy factory shutdowns and depressed new vehicle demand, well, they're starting to sound the alarm about a potential used car price collapse that could have far-reaching consequences for manufacturers, lenders, and even rental companies. While the focus has been on the new car market, we're seeing used vehicles starting to pile up at places where buyers and sellers make and take bids on cars and trucks. And this imbalance could last for months. And if that fear is realized and prices do plummet, automakers and their in-house lending units may have to write down the value of lease contracts that had assumed vehicles would retain a greater value. Rental car companies also will get less money from selling down their fleet of vehicles, which are sitting idle, by the way, due to the global pandemic that's been causing all kinds of headaches on travel. The upside of all this? Well, it would be very affordable transportation for the masses. It's all a maybe at this point, but stay tuned. According to CNBC, Amazon will soon allow third-party merchants to ship non-essential items to its warehouses. The story first broke this morning in the Wall Street Journal and said, starting later this week, the company will begin to accept more products in its warehouses. Now, if you remember, Amazon told sellers back in March that it would temporarily prioritize household staples, medical supplies, and other essential product categories in response to a surge in demand from the coronavirus outbreak. An Amazon spokesperson said products will be limited by quantity to allow Amazon to continue prioritizing essential products and protecting employees, and went on to say while also ensuring most selling parties can ship goods into their facilities, a change at Amazon. Well, today, Florida McDonald's workers announced they had filed a $500 million class action lawsuit against McDonald's, alleging the fast food giant has a systematic sexual harassment problem. Jamila Farley and Ashley Reddick are the named plaintiffs in the suit, which was filed on behalf of 5,000 women who work at the 100 corporate-run McDonald's locations in Florida. Farley and Reddick were co-workers at a McDonald's location in that state, where they say that women faced physical assaults, groping, and sexually charged comments on the job. Reddick said she dealt with sexual comments from male co-workers and from customers. According to Reddick, a manager failed to take action when she reported her co-workers' behavior. Reddick's shifts were cut, and she was eventually fired after reporting the behavior. Farley said that she faced physical and verbal harassment from co-workers. According to the complaint, Farley's hours were cut after she reported her co-workers' behavior multiple times. In a 2016 study, 40% of women working at fast food chains said they had been sexually harassed at work. McDonald's said in a statement that, quote, "McDonald's has always been committed to ensuring that our employees are able to work in an environment that's free from all forms of discrimination and harassment," end quote. Well, this is a story of when enough may not be enough. The world's top oil producers pulled off an historic deal to cut global petroleum output by nearly a tenth, putting an end to a devastating price war. However, the deal didn't go far enough to offset the impact of the pandemic. A week-long marathon of bilateral calls and ministerial video conferences joined the OPEC Plus Alliance and the group of 20 nations in an unprecedented agreement to cut oil production by 9.7 million barrels a day. Now, the decision may help lift oil prices from almost 20-year lows, but the focus of the market now shifts to whether they can dent a supply glut that keeps growing as the virus shuts down the global economy. Now, if you, like us, are now getting about 3 weeks to a gallon of gas, you get the picture. Even with this oil news, crude today fell by 5 cents a barrel, settling at $22.71. Well, during the past 3 weeks, we've seen over 16 million people filing for unemployment benefits, and this, some say, is just the beginning. Yesterday, Neel Kashkari, the head of the Federal Reserve Bank of Minneapolis, painted a gloomy picture of the U.S. economy. He said in a CBS interview that the U.S. could be in this battle for months, barring some health care miracle, saying, quote, "We're looking at an 18-month strategy of rolling shutdowns based on what's happening in other countries," end quote. He went on to say this, quote, "We could have these waves of flare-ups, and controls until we actually get a therapy or a vaccine. We need to find ways of getting the people who are healthy, who are at lower risk, back to work, and then providing the assistance to those who are at most risk, who are going to need to be quarantined or isolated for the foreseeable future." End quote. Stunning. Well, the Dow Jones Industrial Average and the S&P 500 fell for the first time in three sessions today as traders continued to weigh the coronavirus outlook while bracing for the start of the corporate earnings season. The 30-stock Dow closed 328 points lower, or 1.4%, to end the day at 23,390, while the S&P 500 dipped 1% to close at 2761. Caterpillar was the worst-performing stock in the Dow, falling more than 8%. The stock was pushed lower by a downgrade from a Bank of America analyst. Financials and real estate led the S&P 500 lower, with both sectors falling by more than 3.5%. But the tech-heavy NASDAQ bucked the broader market's negative trend, raising by 0.5% to close at 81.92 as Netflix, yeah, you've been binge-watching, haven't you? As Netflix jumped 7% to a 52-week high and Amazon advanced by 6.2%. Investors, of course, are still rattled by the continuing rise of COVID-19 cases and deaths and concerned about the looming earnings season about to start with big banks reporting tomorrow. And finally, there is this. You know, once we crawl out of this pandemic, what might the modern office look like? And how might everything change? Well, the New York Times' Jane Margulis suggests that social distancing may be with us for some time. That means less crowded offices, more frequent cleaning, limits on how many people can cram into an elevator, and perhaps most noticeable of all, see fewer people at the office. Why? Well, perhaps employers will adopt a work-from-home approach that works, which all brings us to another possible change. What are we going to do with so many empty office buildings? Are companies going to continue paying rent on empty spaces? Something to think about. All right, click ahead for our segment with Laura Kennard from Drake University and DMACC as we talk about how some folks out there are stepping up to digital in ways they may have thought was a waste of time just months ago. Laura Kennard, coming up next on the Business News Headlines.